Welcome to the Lifeway Church Podcast. We are so glad that you have joined us, and we hope that you are encouraged by today's message.
Good morning, everybody. Glad to see you. My name is Andrew McLean. I'm the lead pastor here at the Lifeway Church. So thankful that you are with us in service this morning. I'm coming to you via video because right now I am at City of Light Church here in Milwaukee. Pastor Brian and Jo Lynette McKee, they're great friends of ours, great church planners. And I just think this is such a great tie-in to our message this morning because God has called us as the church to be leaders and influencers, not just in our local church family, but around our city. But before I get too excited and get into the message, I need to pause and just share a couple of announcements with you. If you missed last week, you missed a huge Sunday as I shared that we are in the process of changing our name to 414 Church. So make sure to listen to last week's podcast to get all the details on that. But the other really big news that we shared last week was that we have signed a contract, an agreement to purchase a 21,000 square foot building right in the heart of West Dallas. And so we know that we're going to need to raise $150,000 in addition to what we've already saved. And so we're working with two different lenders that they both let us know that they would accept some of the additional monies in the form of pledges spread out over 2 years. And so in your service guides, you'll find a 7515 building project pledge card that looks just like this. Many of us don't have a ton of cash just sitting around in a bank account with nothing to do with it. But a two-year pledge, what it does is it gives us an opportunity to invest the way that we truly have in our hearts to give, because we can budget then and spread it out over the course of 24 months. I did some figuring in my head of what it would take for us to reach our goal, and really if 50 families pledged $3,000 spread out over the course of 2 years, that's about $125 a month, really kind of less than the cost of a Starbucks drink every day, we'd be able to raise and come up with all that we need. And so when we handed out these pledge cards last week, I simply requested that you would pray and just ask God this question simply: God, how would you like me, or how would you like us as a family, to be a part of this building project? And as always, absolutely no pressure. If you pray and God tells you not to be a part of this, then just don't worry about it. But we just ask that you talk to God and then be obedient on how he leads you. Now, this is really important. After service this morning, I'd like you to drop your pledge card in one of the green giving kiosks that are located, the boxes located right outside of the entrance doors as you exit here this morning, because I have two meetings lined up with both of our lenders this week, and I need to give them an idea of where we are at financially. I also sent this form out digitally via email last week, and so if you've already sent it in that way, thank you. There's no need to do it a second time. I've also received this week some questions about those who made a legacy offering commitment towards our mobile church relaunch, and what we're asking you to do is just honor what you committed to do and get that turned in, if at all possible, by the end of this month. We're going to just simply redirect that towards our building purchase. But as we've talked to our lenders, I've actually added that amount into our current savings amount that we have. And so I just ask that, once again, you just be diligent in fulfilling that commitment. And if you have any questions, please don't hesitate to reach out to me, and I can give you any more details that you require. Why don't we just take a moment real quick and give a big welcome to all of those who are listening to our message online today. We love you and are so thankful for our online audience. So today I'm going to wrap up our This Is Us series, where really I've been unpacking our five core values. And the values that guide us are these. Number one, we are a home for all. We are an engaged family. Number three, we are spirit-filled and led. Number four, we are generous. And then here's the last This Is Us value. Number five, we are influencers. If you've got your service guide in there, you'll find a sermon outline. I encourage you to follow along with us, take some notes. That's the first fill in the blank. We are influencers. In Matthew chapter 5, verse 14, Jesus said, "You are the world's light, a city on a hill glowing in the night for all to see." He said, don't hide your light. In other words, don't be secluded. Don't be all just closed up in a church building where no one even knows that you exist. Instead, let it shine for all. Let your good deeds glow for all to see. And I love this. Jesus tells us that the way to influence others is not by condemning or correcting them, but by simply letting our light shine brightly. And then he goes on to say, so when we do that, when we let our light shine, when we glow for all to see, others will begin to praise your Heavenly Father. I want you to understand this morning that God's strategy for touching and changing the world is you. Every one of us in this room, we are an influencer. Now for most of us, when we hear the word world, we tend to think, well, it's such a big place that there's no way that I can possibly reach it. And we get discouraged because really we're using the wrong definition of the word world. And so I want to start by explaining what the world means in the context of us as individuals. In the book of Acts chapter 16, there's a great story about Paul and Silas, and I don't have time to tell the whole thing, so I encourage you to go through and read it. But Paul and Silas had been out preaching and sharing the gospel, and through a series of events, it ultimately led to them being beaten and thrown into prison. And as they were bound and bloodied, sitting there with these wounds on their backs in jail, they began to worship God and sing praises to Him. And I know this is another message, but I just wanted to ask this question. What is your response when trouble comes your way? I think we can learn a lot from Paul and Silas. And then scripture tells us that at midnight, an earthquake came, shaking the foundations of the prison, and all of their chains came loose. And right here, we're going to pick up the story. In verse 27, it says, the jailer woke up, and when he saw the prison doors open, he drew his sword and was about to kill himself because he thought the prisoners had escaped. But Paul shouted, don't harm yourself. We are all here. And the jailer called for lights. He rushed in and fell trembling before Paul and Silas. And then he brought them out and he asked them, he said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? In other words, you guys are different. And how can I have what you have? I've never seen anything or experienced anything like this before. And they replied, believe in the Lord Jesus and you will be saved, you and your household. And that last word household in this verse is really important. I want you to underline it or circle it in your notes. That word household is from the Greek word oikos. Now I just want to pause here. That's not referring to a brand of yogurt at the grocery store, okay? It's a different word here. And oikos is literally the people who are around you. It's those who are a part of your relational network. And so Paul tells this jailer, hey, if you'll get saved in the same way that we've impacted your life by living this way, your life will impact the people in your household, those in your oikos. And every one of us in this room, we all have a sphere of influence, and God's plan for reaching the world is for us to make a positive impact on those around us. And so what I want to do here this morning is I want to share three areas, the three main areas that make up your oikos, that make up your world. Whether you recognize it or not, we all have one. Here's the first area. It's the next fill in the blank in your outline. Number one, it is my people. We all have people that we are closely connected to. And this group includes family, it includes friends, coworkers, classmates, the people that we spend the most time around. And God has intentionally placed you in a sphere of influence with particular people around you. Your neighbors are your neighbors on purpose. Your classmates are your classmates on purpose. The people you work with, even those that you don't like very much, they are there on purpose. And once we begin to recognize this fact, we can then have a positive impact and influence on our world. In fact, sociologists have studied and they've determined that most people have around 12 individuals in their sphere or in their oikos. And we need to understand that they are not there by accident. God has strategically placed them around you. Jesus tells us in Mark chapter 5, verse 19, he says, go home to your family and tell them everything the Lord has done for you and how merciful he has been. I want you to notice that Jesus didn't say, hey, go home and tell people that they need to get saved, or go home and tell people that they're lost and going to hell. No. He just said, tell them what God has done inside of you. Can I just tell you the difference that God has made in my life? How he saved my soul, how he saved my marriage from destruction, how over and over again he's given me grace and mercy. Listen, when we tell that story, I promise that people will desire the hope and love that you have found. Our sphere is made up of our people. The second place that defines your area of influence, your world, is number two. It's my location. My location. God has strategically placed you in a specific place on purpose. You're living today. Maybe you live in West Dallas or Milwaukee or Greenfield or Oak Creek or Franklin. I want you to understand that God placed you there. Acts 17:26 tells us that God, he decided beforehand when they should rise, when they should fall, and he determined their boundaries. God placed you in this part of the world, in this country, in this state, and in this city, even in this physical location on purpose. And unless he's told you to go somewhere else and you've decided to be disobedient, God has you in the exact place that he wants you. And so part of your sphere of influence, it's the school that you attend. It's the place that you work. It's even the stores and the restaurants that you frequent. And you need to take advantage of it during the season that you're in because God has put you in that place on purpose. A great verse that I encourage you to start praying over yourself is Psalms 90, verse 17. It says, "May the favor of the Lord our God rest on us. Establish the work of our hands for us." Yes, Lord, establish the works of our hands. I want you to begin to see your life with more purpose. God, give me your favor. God, establish the work that you have for me to do. You're not out in the field that you are in just to make a living and to pay the bills. That's way too small of a way to think. You are called to be an influencer. I want you to understand that your vocation is your ministry location. That's your spot. That's where you've been planted in ministry. Those are your people. That's your place. And the more you recognize it, your prayer should rise up more and more. God, give me favor. Lord, establish the work of my hands. And then the third place that defines or makes up our world, number three, is my passions. My passions. Every single one of us in this room have certain passions. We have certain things, certain places that we are just drawn to. And a lot of us can't even explain the reason why. For some, it's specific nations or parts of the world. For others, it's certain social issues or even specific activities. We're not all drawn to the same things. And as such, I'm determined to not pastor a church where I have to get up here and tell you what we are going to do. I don't want the church to be built on my ideas, but I want it to be built instead on your passions. Nelson Mandela said, "There is no passion to be found playing small, in settling for a life that is less than the one that you are capable of living." Listen, I want you active in the areas that God has stirred you so that you will go and change your world. God has placed those things inside of you. Your people, your place, your passions are where you need to spend your time, your life, your treasure, and your investments, because that's your world. That's the sphere of influence that God has given you. And really, this is the main reason why our life groups are built on a free market system. They are led based on what people want to do. They are created and facilitated by the passions of those who lead and want to attend them. And so I'm trying to get you to recognize that the reason you are moved towards some things and not others is because God has placed within you a desire to do the thing that he created you to do. Psalms chapter 37, 4 tells us, "Take delight in the Lord, and he will give you your heart's desires." That word delight in the Hebrew literally means like a bride putting on her wedding gown. And when you make yourself beautiful before the Lord, he will give you the desires of your heart. But I want you to watch this. That doesn't mean that he'll give you whatever you want. It actually means that he will give you the want. The desires you have when you are in a right relationship with him are God-given desires that he has placed there. And so I challenge you this morning, as you delight yourself in the Lord, follow those passions, because you can be sure that he gave them to you to act on. And so how can I be an influencer? How can I make a difference, just little old me, in this great big world? I want to give you three powerful acts that you can literally begin to do the moment you leave this building here this morning. The first is this. Number one, I am an influencer through my manner. I'm an influencer through my manner. Many of us grew up hearing, "Hey, mind your manners. You better be on your best behavior, Andrew. You know what? We're getting ready to go in that store, and you better not be acting the fool like you've just been doing in the car with your brother and your sister." It was a fresh reminder from my mom or my dad. You better take the right action and have the right attitude. I'm reminded of the story of a teacher who was giving her class of little children a lesson on good manners. And so she asked, she said, "Hey, if you accidentally step on a lady's foot when you're out in a crowd, what should you do?" And one little boy excitedly raised his hand and said, "Hey, I would say, excuse me, sorry, ma'am." And the teacher responded, "Very good. Now what if to reward you, the lady gave you a coin? What would you do?" The student paused and thought about it for a moment and replied, "Well, I'd step on the other foot to get another one." The Bible has a lot to say about our manners and how we live our lives. The way we live, our manners, our behavior will either propel people away from God or it will draw people closer to Him. And now this can create a bit of tension as our tendency is to think, "Hey, see, that's why I can't be an influencer. Pastor, if you only knew my reputation at work or my reputation at school." And while most of us want to become better people, while we want to become the best version of ourselves, if the only motivation to change is for yourself, in most cases we won't put in the effort necessary to see that change come to pass. But when you realize, when you recognize, "Hey, someone in the world is counting on me. Someone in this world needs me," it can propel us forward. Let me prove it to you this morning. If you really want to grow, I would encourage you to facilitate a life group this fall. In fact, next Sunday, right after service, we'll be having our life group facilitator training. And so I encourage you to attend that if you've not already done so. But I want to tell you what's going to happen. The very first night of your first group, if you're married, you and your wife are going to get into the biggest fight. You know, like one of those fights that typically drags on for days and days. But because 10 people are getting ready to walk into your house in about 12 minutes, right? You get the fight over with quickly. Why? Because there's an external motivation. You quickly adjust your life because you realize that your manners don't just affect you and your wife, but they will affect this entire group of people who's getting ready to walk into a battle zone if you don't take care of it, right? You guys understand? And so the Bible tells us in Colossians 4, chapter 4, verse 5 and 6, he says, "Be wise." In other words, think about it. Change it. Work on it. Be wise in the way that you act towards outsiders. Make the most of every opportunity. Let your conversation be always full of grace. Let it be seasoned with salt so that you may know how to answer everyone. And I want you to understand this morning. People are watching you. People are listening to the things you say and the way that you respond. And please know that you may be the only Jesus that someone is ever exposed to. 1 Thessalonians 4:11 tells us, make it your ambition. In other words, that means we haven't arrived yet. So make it your goal. Work towards, make it your ambition to lead a quiet life. You should mind your own business and work with your hands just as we told you. Why? So that your daily life may win the respect of others. James Hunter wrote a book entitled To Change the World, where he studied why so many of the efforts of Christians and churches to change the world have been relatively ineffective. And in the book, he looks at all the things that churches and people have tried and failed, and he comes down to this conclusion that the only way to really influence others is through faithful presence. In other words, it's just simply being there over and over again, doing the right things, saying the right things, being a living witness to someone and something greater. What would happen in our jobs? What would happen in our schools and in our communities if we learned the art of faithful presence? Does your manner reflect a loving and kind Savior? Here's the second one. I am an influencer when I recognize the moment. I am an influencer when I recognize the God-ordained moment. There are around 7 billion people on this planet that God loves so much. And He will literally cause one person's path to intersect with yours in order to reach them. I remember a couple of times we've got dear Rosa who attends our church with her family. And several times shortly after we planted the Lifeway Church, we ran into her at Woodman's and we were talking and we were telling her about what God is doing and how wonderful the church is and how she should come check it out. And she's like, "Yeah, I need to do that. I need to do it." And one of those days Rosa came and she's never stopped coming. Listen, that wasn't an accident. It's a divine divine appointment, and God's going to intersect your life with another person's life. And we just need to recognize that those moments are not accidents. They are God ordained. The person sitting next to you this morning, your waiter at the restaurant this afternoon, God orchestrated it, and his desire is that we would be a city set up on a hill, that we wouldn't hide it, but rather we would let our light shine brightly. Psalms 37:23 tells us the steps of a good man. In other words, the steps of an influencer, they are ordered by the Lord. Proverbs 16:9 says, in their hearts, human plan their course. In other words, I get up in the morning and I've got this, and this to do. But it says that the Lord establishes their steps. In other words, we may have our agenda, but I want you to understand that God has an agenda as well, and we need to be sensitive to that. That's why in the Lord's Prayer, we pray, Lord, not my will, but your will be done. What would happen if we'd end an email or a text by saying, hey, God bless you, or I'm praying for you? What would happen if the next time we spoke with someone on the phone who called to share a need, instead of just hanging up at the end, we just say, hey, before we get off the phone, can I just pray for you? What would happen if we'd start to recognize that all of the people who cross our path are God-ordained intersections? I want us to be such world changers that hell literally gets nervous every single time we leave our homes. I challenge you to live your life understanding that your manner and your moments have the power to change the world. And then here's the last one, number three. I am an influencer when I share my story. I influence when I share my story. Listen, our message isn't turn or burn. It's not you're going to hell or you better repent, you lousy sinner. No. Instead of being known for what we are against, my prayer is that we would be a church and that we would be a people who are known for what we are for, that we are known because of what God has done in our lives and the great work he's done inside of us, that we speak words of life. All of us in this room have a story. 1 Peter 3:15 says, and if someone asks about your hope as a believer, always be ready to explain it. That is your responsibility and my responsibility. And so I want to give you an assignment for this week. I want you to go home. I want you to write out your story, how God has changed your life. And I want you to practice it out loud, verbalize it, be able to share it in 3 minutes or less. Be prepared to share the hope that you have found in Jesus, because we are called to be influencers. 2 Corinthians 5:20 says, so we are Christ's ambassadors. God is making his appeal to others through us. I want you to understand, this world is not our final destination. God has strategically placed us here in southeastern Wisconsin as ambassadors to represent him and his kingdom. And so as I wrap this series up, God has called us to be a change agent in our community. I believe that as a church, we are on the precipice of God doing some things that will completely blow our minds. But as influencers, we must use the giftings that God has placed inside of us. And so I challenge you this morning, don't aspire to a place of position, but instead aspire to a change one life at a time. Influence isn't about position. It's not about a title. It's caring enough about somebody else, about others, to grab a towel and serve. The Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians 1:19, he writes to us and he says, even though I am a free man with no master, in other words, I can do whatever I want to do, he made the choice, I have become a slave to all people to bring many to Christ. It is a choice we make. As a church, we will only be as effective as the personal ownership we take and the commitment that we make to pursuing God's call on our lives. This is us. We are influencers who are committed to see as many people as possible come to a new life in Jesus. One day, as I look towards our future, I see our church having campuses throughout the greater Milwaukee area. Why? Because there are so many people who need the hope that only Jesus brings. How will they hear unless we are willing to go to them? This morning, I'm praying for God to reveal to you your sphere. I'm asking that God would show you the people, the place, the profession in your in your passions, to recognize that there is a world right around you, right in front of you, where God intends to use you to impact people for His glory. And I recognize you may not be at the place that you want to be, but I pray that God would take us on a journey where you are growing and we are growing in Him, and that others would start to take notice of what He's doing in our lives. And I recognize there are people here today who are thinking, well, man, it sounds great to be an influencer, but I need hope. I'm at the end of my rope. I'm depressed. I need God. I'm walking around carrying my guilt and shame and the burdens from my past. And listen, if that's where you are this morning, I've got great news for you today. Jesus doesn't want you to pay for your own sin. He's already paid the price for it. You can have a clean slate. You can be made brand new here this morning. All you have to do is repent and simply give your life to Him. With every head bowed and every eye closed, no one looking around, I'd love it if we just get super still in the auditorium. But if you're ready to say, you know what, Andrew, today, I'm ready to make that decision. I'm ready to give Jesus my life. I'm ready to turn from Him. Or maybe you're sitting here and you're like, I need to come back to God and recommit everything I have to Him. Listen, with no one looking around, if that's you, would you just lift your hands right now so I can pray for you? Come on, just take a minute. Thank you. Thank you. Just raise your hands. All right, let's pray together. Lord Jesus, we just thank you for the power of your word. Lord, we thank you that it changes us, Lord God. And Lord, I just pray for every hand that was raised. Lord God, I thank you for the opportunity for a fresh start. And right now, Lord, we give our life and our heart to you. Lord, we repent. And all that means is we're going to stop going our own direction. Instead, we're going to move towards you. Wash us. Cleanse us of our sin. Thank you for the price that you paid for us on Calvary. Lord Jesus, I pray over every person in this auditorium, those that are followers of you. Lord God, that as we go to sleep tonight and as we wake up in the subsequent days, that you would allow us to remember the fact that you have called us to be influencers. Lord, that our light would literally glow. Lord, the goodness of what you've done, that it would literally reflect and radiate off of us, pointing others to you. Lord Jesus, that you would allow us to be your hands and your feet. And Lord God, we just thank you for this. In Jesus' name we pray. Everybody said, amen.
Thank you for listening. We'd love to hear about what God is doing in your life. You can email us at stories@thelifeway.org or connect with us on Facebook or Instagram. If you'd like to support this podcast, you can give today by visiting thelifeway.org/give. Thanks again for listening, and be sure to check in next week for a new message. Have a great week.